You're listening to episode 27 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about how to choose what you want to feel. Finally, right? Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, amigos. Okay, today we're going to go deeper into how we can actually choose our feelings. You have earned it, right? We talked about how our thoughts create our feelings. We talked about how to feel any emotion. We talked about the human experience of the contrast of emotions. And now we're going to talk about how to shift our emotions, because I know it's what a lot of people first think about doing when they learn that thoughts create feelings, which influence our actions and the results we create in life. People are like, well, how do I just start feeling better? And I didn't answer that right away in this series because it's so important that we first see how we create our current reality. Because until we can adopt that truth, if we try to create new emotions, even if it works at first, if we don't fully believe that we create all of it, then it isn't as effective or sustainable when we try to change our emotions. So when we look at the example of lottery winners, I feel like it's a really good one. Did you know that most of them, most lottery winners, eventually end up in the same income bracket or lower? In fact, lottery winners are more likely to declare bankruptcy within 3 to 5 years than the average American. And what's more, studies have shown that winning the lottery doesn't necessarily make you happier or healthier either. And it's largely because their mindset about money hasn't changed. Their thoughts about money haven't changed. Their bank account changes for a while, but because their mindset about money didn't change, their bank account eventually ends up right back where it started, right back to where their mindset is. They may have quit their jobs and spend without paying attention to the money, the same as before. Spending without attention to money, spending more than they have, not respecting money. But now they have some abstract permission to go ahead, but it catches up to them. And I'm so psyched to talk about this because I've received a lot of feedback about the balance of emotions and the contrast of emotions and how these concepts are just blowing your minds, right? And that's the whole reason I started this podcast, for you to blow your own mind, to wake up to your own truth. And I think an important thing to remember is that this work is so important because we can stop unnecessary suffering, right? We can feel pain, which is part of life, the first sort of arrow that shoots us, right? But then we add all these other arrows, resisting what is, wishing it was different, wondering why it's happening, trying to reject reality. And this causes so much unnecessary suffering on top of the suffering that's just part of being human. So when we stop feeling bad about feeling bad, we feel better. Ain't that the shit? And as you know by now from the last episode, if you want to feel better, one of the best ways to do this is to accept that not feeling good all the time is a part of being human. I think a lot of my unnecessary suffering with anxiety and depression was because I felt like I shouldn't be experiencing that. You know, I had a mentally ill father and I'd done everything in my power to avoid any mental illness. It was my greatest fear. So when I had panic attacks and depression, I was so resistant to it. I ignored it. I didn't want to admit it was happening because I had a whole story that it meant worse things were going to happen if I did. And it was so unnecessary for me to feel bad about feeling bad because I could have just accepted that part of the human experience is a contrast in experiences, in thinking, which means a contrast in emotion. And if I had accepted that, then I could have accepted the human experience I was having for what it was and nothing more and nothing less. So today we will dive into the concept of feelings being not just a part of the human experience, but also that the ones we feel are optional. Now, one of the most common questions I get from Freedom School students is that if our thoughts create our feelings, then why not choose to feel great all the time and just choose different thoughts? Like, oh, I'm feeling shitty today. Can you help me figure out how to feel better, right? And in fact, it's the most common mistakes most new students make. They try and take all of their current negative thinking when they do a thought download, and they'll try to make it all positive all of the time. And then often people end up feeling guilty and beating themselves up for any negative thoughts and any negative emotion. And when I explain to them, no, that's not the deal. The deal is that we have balance. We just want to do it more deliberately. Then there's some clarity around it. And I want to make sure that you all understand this as well, because it's a pretty advanced concept and we talk about it further in our training in Freedom School. But for those of you that have been listening a while, let's see if we can wrap our heads around this. So remember the example I gave in the last episode about my student that beat herself up for the shit color glasses, right? There will be a tendency to beat ourselves up because we'll understand that our negative emotion and negative thinking is all self-created. And so a common initial mistake is we start to blame ourselves or other people for how we're feeling and how we're thinking. And when we realize that we can't blame the other people, then we really blame ourselves because we understand, oh, wait, it's all my thinking. So all of this is my fault, which some people think is really bad news because then they use it as an excuse to beat themselves up instead of a reason to feel super empowered. So here's the deal. If I give you a buffet of emotions, you know, the imagery I like to use with my students is that I present this buffet to you. And instead of saying bon appetit, I'm saying feeling, which one would you like to choose? Which feeling would you like to choose today? And it's a really important imagery for you to get a visualization, right? Because that is basically the power that you have in your life. You get to choose how to feel all of the time by what you think. Now, you also know by now that this does not mean that you should choose to feel great all of the time. As I talked about on the previous episode, a lot of the time we don't want to feel great about what's going on in the world, and that's okay. We want to be upset about social injustice and racism. We want to be upset about abuse and human rights violations. There's a huge difference when you decide that feeling sad is what you want to feel versus feeling like an emotion is not within your control. So let me tell you why this matters so much. If you feel like your anxiety, your frustration, your sadness, your grief, your pain is caused by the external world and you're unable to control the external world, you'll be tempted to buffer, for example, which means you'll be tempted to escape how you are feeling. You'll be tempted to avoid your emotion because you'll feel as if your emotion's being caused by the outside world and there's nothing you can do about it. And then so you think, well, the only way to feel better is to escape into a false pleasure. And most of my students come to me with this belief system that the feeling isn't within their control. And they don't even realize that this is a belief they have. They don't know why they're buffering and they don't understand the reason why they're buffering is because they want to feel better and they don't know how because they think their emotions are caused by something on the outside. And if it's caused by the world, damn it, they can't just change the world, right? But what I've been teaching you in this podcast, especially in the recent series, is that the world doesn't cause you to feel anything because your thoughts cause you to feel everything. And you are in control of your thinking. So usually what it really is that we can't manage our emotions. This is why we spend a whole month on this in Freedom School, right? And this is why I always teach that we need to learn how to process an emotion all the way through and how to be with it before trying to change it. Because the root cause is in our inability to manage our emotions. Our lack of ziji, that inner radiant confidence that we can handle anything. So we need to learn that first. You know, it's like as a climbing guide, I would tell my clients, no, you don't get to not set up a tent when the weather is good until you show me you can set one up in a storm blindfolded. Then you have the option to not set up the tent, right? So when I was guiding, especially in California, we'd have like weeks of no rain. And my clients would be like, why do I have to set up a tent? Like, it's obviously not going to rain. And I was like, well, in the mountains, storms can sweep in the middle of the night, even in California. So you have to show me that you can set up a tent in a storm if you're going to choose not to, right? So they practice and they practice. And then we had like a final exam when they were setting up their tent, and me and my co-instructor were like throwing water on them. Like if there's any clothes laying around, we're taking them and throwing them away as if the wind was coming by. We're shaking the tent, we're blindfolding them. And when they showed that they could set it up in a storm, then they got the right to not set it up when the weather's good. And it's similar with emotions, I feel like. When you have shown that you can manage emotion, when you can allow feelings, then you've earned the right to shift them, right? Because then you've taken the full responsibility and are willing to have that full human experience. All right. So step one is awareness of the emotion. Step two is being willing to feel any emotion for as long as it takes. And step three, and only then, is to change your thinking. So assuming you've paid your dues and are choosing to be with emotions, what are the feelings that you want to experience in the world? If you were born from a shooting star, as it entered the atmosphere, and you landed on the earth as a totally capable, mature human, and in front of you is this buffet of emotions, which ones would you pick? Now, a lot of us think, oh, I'd pick the sexy ones like adventure, freedom, passion, like unicorn farting rainbows, joy. But can you grok that it would be super weird if that was all you picked? Because then you'd be like happy during moments where happiness is totally inappropriate. You'd be celebrating during totally painful experiences. Or be like me sometimes where you laugh at totally inappropriate times. Like when people fall down, I just can't help it. I laugh. So I apologize in advance. I will laugh if you fall down in front of me, even if you're like super old. I just can't help it. I will like come over right away and be concerned and try to help you up, but I will be laughing at the same time. I just can't help it. It's kind of sad. So you don't want that, right? So I want you to really think about this consciously. You're a human. What emotions do you want to have in your repertoire to be able to feel? To have the full human experience, right? And now number two is that we need to allow unwanted feelings in order to release resistance, right? There's the analogy that you've heard me talk about with trying to push that beach ball under the water when you're resisting it. And then when you finally burn out and let go, it's going to shoot up out with a lot of force, right? So we need to just allow the feelings and not resist them. Now, we also need to eliminate indulgent feelings. You may have heard me talk about indulgent feelings like confusion, overwhelm, and worry. Those are important because we may want them, even though they're not serving us. And by serving us, I mean contributing to our evolution and growth towards our highest self. So first is identifying the desired feelings that we choose because we want to have balance as humans. We choose in full awareness that it is yin and yang. When we choose from the buffet, we pick the sweets and the veggies and the protein, right? There was a whole experiment done where they took toddlers and put them in front of a buffet of lots of different foods, including like little cups of like cod liver oil and things like that. And what was interesting was these toddlers chose the food that was healthy for their particular condition. Like whatever the kids had going on, whatever their nutritional makeup already was, they were supplementing it correctly when they looked at this buffet, right? So being willing to feel the unwanted feelings that we wouldn't pick off the platter of this buffet, but that happen because we're alive in a body having a human experience, allowing instead of resisting them, and then releasing our indulgent feelings because they don't serve us. To trust our inner wisdom that we can choose that which we need. And again, we don't want to resist them. That always backfires, but we want to stop indulging in those emotions that don't serve us. Now, if you're in Freedom School, in your workbook, there's a long list of emotions that you can go through and read. But for those of you who aren't, I'm going to just go through some feelings, a list of feelings that I've got here verbally with you. Okay. So the first one is happy. And I think most of us would choose this, right? Most of us want to feel happy. It's a good feeling. So think about the thoughts that enable you to feel happy. It's very tempting to think about circumstances and situations that we think make us feel happy. And it's easy for us to say, oh, when my partner comes over, I feel happy. When my puppy's in the room, I feel happy. When there's perfect powder to ski, when the weather's sunny and warm, when I make a lot of money, when I get a new client, or when my boss doesn't come to work, I feel happy, right? So it's easy for us to attribute our feelings to external circumstances, but what I want you to do is attribute your feelings to your thoughts. So if you think, I'm so happy when my partner's here, what is the thought you have that causes the feeling of happiness? Because it's not your partner causing that feeling. Maybe your thought is, oh, I'm not alone, or it's so fun to have someone to share this with, or I'm feeling so loved right now, right? The second emotion on my list here is sadness. So I want you to think about if that's one of the emotions you'd pick up and why. You know, I think the feeling of sadness is really important to distinguish from self-pity or pity too. And the reason I say that is because self-pity is sadness towards yourself, feeling sorry for yourself. And that's very different than the emotion of sadness when it's appropriate and helpful. It's sort of like how you need to differentiate between compassion and pity for someone. No one wants pity. No one wants you, deep down at least, to feel sorry for them. Pity doesn't serve anyone, and definitely not yourself. Compassion's different. So I think most of us would pick up sad as an emotion that we would want to experience as humans, because I think most of us want to feel sad when sad things happen, right? Or at least when things we think are sad happen. It's part of being human. I actually find the form of sadness that manifests as grief as super healing. Okay, the next one is angry. That's one of those emotions that I know for me at least always feels useful, but it usually isn't in the long run. But I think most of us would want to make sure that we had this as an emotion to feel so we could process that emotion in a servable way, like that Kali energy, not in a reactive kind of way. And it feels, let's admit, it feels a hell of a lot more powerful than despondency or powerless. So yeah, I like having that. I'm going to pick that, right? Now, confused. Confused is one of those indulgent emotions, right? It's an emotion that's not useful. And you might say, but what if you really are confused? As if confusion is something that happens to you. And I want to remind you, confusion is not, my friends, something that happens to you. Confusion is something you decide to experience by saying, I don't know what to do. I don't understand this. I don't know what the next step is. Right? A couple of episodes ago, I talked about how saying, I don't know, is a huge energy sucker. And a lot of us indulge in this emotion of confusion and believe that it's useful. And I want to offer that it's not useful. It's not one that you need. And in fact, you can always be thinking a different thought. Like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm figuring this out. I'm understanding this. I'm learning this. Instead of feeling confused, which is really important, right? Because confusion does not lead to clarity. We think if I hang out and am confused about this long enough, I will eventually get clear. No. Right? Marie Forleo even wrote a book about this based on something her mom said. She would always say to her, everything is figure outable. Now, confusion doesn't lead to clarity. That's a different thought model. Confusion keeps us stuck and unmoving. It's not an emotion that we need to be indulging in. So no, I'm going to leave that there. All right. Joy. Totally snag that, right? I think that's a super fun one. Depressed. Depressed is one you really want to think about. Do you think that it's a usable, purposeful human emotion? Like I said earlier, I resisted my depression a lot, and my anger and my anxiety. And a lot of times we resist emotion, and that causes us a level of emotional exhaustion that can even lead to depression. So I think if we are depressed, denying it or avoiding it is not useful. It's one that we definitely need to allow, but it's not one that serves a useful purpose in our lives, as far as I can tell, based on my own experience with it. So it most likely wouldn't be one that I would pick up. So if it was there, I'd allow it, but I wouldn't pick it up. Okay. Sadness, yes. Depression, not so much. Okay. All right. So those are some of the first ones, right? Happy, sad, angry, confused, joy, depressed. What about others here? Okay, I'm looking down. Heartbroken. What about heartbroken? I have had my share of pizza boxes and wine bottles strewn about on the living room floor for that one. Still, I would take it. Sometimes you just need to really let your heart be broken open, right? It's the flip side of the love you feel, the joy. You know, I want to feel heartbroken if something's worthy of it. Disappointed. What about that one? Sure. Like if for Maya, if something happened with her that I wish didn't, I'm willing to be disappointed about it. And I'm also willing to desire some pretty big dreams and have them not come true and be willing to be disappointed. I don't think it's a detrimental emotion to me. It's just information. But you have to decide for you. You get to decide what emotions you'd pick up. It's not like, oh, I wouldn't pick that one up, but Anna would. Is that wrong of me? No, you get to decide. You ask yourself, right? Is this helpful for me to have in my repertoire? So I think this is a really powerful exercise to go through, to look at a list of feelings and really decide on purpose, like which emotions are you going to feel on purpose and how are you going to balance them out? Knowing being a human involves the yin and the yang. One of the activities we have in Freedom School this month is I gave people a worksheet that had a line down the middle, and on one side you put positive and on the other side you put negative emotions. And you have both sides because that is life, right? The human experience. To fill this out with just positive things is just as delusional as someone filling out only the negative things. There's a balance that needs to be there. So maybe on one side you put excited and on the other side you'd put bored. Those are two emotions you want to experience in contrast. Yes, even boredom. Y'all know me. I've admitted I abhor boredom. I've gotten into big trouble to avoid boredom. I've been arrested in Mexico, pulled over driving on acid, chased by cops. Oh my gosh, the bad news boyfriends. I mean, you can hear these stories another time. But yes, I've gotten into a lot of trouble to avoid being bored. And yes, with what I know now, I would choose to have boredom sometimes. We also now know that boredom is the fertile ground for creativity. Like one of the problems of the digital age is kids don't get bored. Sheesh, right? It's like, if it isn't one thing, it's the other. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I was cutting out paper bags to make this like paper Pac-Man game. Like, I was bored. I don't think my kid has an idea of what being that bored is, right? So I'm actually intentionally trying to create boredom for her because that is where many great ideas come from. So you don't have to just write opposites on these lists, y'all. But if you were to decide on purpose what emotions you would choose, what would be the positive ones? What would be the negative ones? And then kind of compare and contrast that to emotions you have on a daily basis. Because you can choose versus having feelings happening to you because you're not paying attention to your thinking. It's really important for you to decide what you're going to feel on purpose and be more deliberate with it. So some of you may ask me, okay, so I notice that I'm willing to feel a balance of positive and negative emotions. I do understand what you're saying about that being our human experience. I do agree that we could do it 50-50 and have a good balance, but I'm maybe sad all the time or angry all the time or anxious all the time. And I don't see that I want to feel that all of the time. And what I want to offer you, if that's you, is that when you have, say, anxiety about your own anxiety, or you have anger about your own anger, you're just compounding the situation. You're shooting the proverbial second and third and fourth and so on arrows. You're taking the anxiety, the pain of one arrow, and making it worse by hating on the anxiety. But if you're willing to allow the experience of anxiety to be one of the emotions that you have on the negative side, which means you're actually choosing it on purpose, or if you're at least choosing it on purpose for now, maybe it's not one that you're choosing to have a lot of the time, but you're like, okay, I'm gonna choose to feel this on purpose for now. That is when you can get some dominion over it, because resisting it and rejecting it doesn't work. And again, this is different from an indulgent emotion that many of us feel on purpose as a way to protect ourselves from taking action, right? It's the reason we hang out in, I don't know. You know, we don't want to know. We don't want to make the difficult decision and have the hard conversations and say no or yes to change jobs or move or be alone for a while. So if you're not in Freedom School, I'd love for you to Google a feelings list of sorts. And I want to invite you to ask yourself with each one of those, is this an emotion I want to include in my life? And if you're in Freedom School, use the list that's in your workbook. But the other thing that I want you to do is be willing to add new emotions to your repertoire, to practice new emotions, to include new emotions in your life, and maybe add some to that negative side that you wouldn't have chosen, but that are part of your current life experience, in order to establish some sense of dominion over it, some sense of authority over it, right? A willingness to understand, to see what you're feeling, to find the thoughts causing it, because we get into feeling habits. We get stuck in a pattern of this small repertoire of feelings, and we think that they're part of us and who we are, our temperament or whatever, right? And we close off to new and different feelings. And when we understand why we're feeling the way we do, and what we're thinking and what's causing it, then we can start to understand that these habits we have include feelings. So then after you've learned to allow the emotions that are the balance to the positive ones, then you can make a decision to change your thoughts in order to change the feeling that isn't serving you. So not just changing because you don't like it, but changing it because it's not serving you, right? Not just to feel better, because that's not the point of being human, but to evolve, to choose the emotions that will help you evolve. And sometimes those emotions will be uncomfortable. And sometimes, fellow human, they will be wonderful. You know, I have often found myself, as I do this work, easily asking myself throughout the day, if I'm feeling shitty, my question to myself is, why am I choosing thoughts that are leading me to feel this way? You know, the question is no longer, why do I feel sad? Why do I feel anxious? Why is this happening to me, right? Instead, I think, why am I choosing thoughts? Because that's what's happening, y'all. When you're feeling a certain way, you are choosing thoughts that are creating those feelings. So the way out of this is learning to manage emotions and to manage your mind. This is why, you know, meditation and mindfulness practice is so helpful. You are managing your mind, learning to manage your mind. And when you have this awareness, this is the golden ticket, right? When you are sitting there feeling sad for yourself, you can say, why am I choosing thoughts that are causing me to feel this way? And then you can choose to keep them or change them. You see? So when we have earned the ability to change our emotions by changing our thoughts about the circumstances we are in, we can create and practice, right? We have to practice those new thoughts, just like eating your veggies. Gotta do it, gotta practice it every day. We practice the new emotions that we will have that will help us actively create our dreams. We practice the new thoughts that lead to the new emotions that better serve us. And you, my fellow human, get to decide what those are. If you like what you heard, please spread the love and share it. And if you know you need some help with this and want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, go to rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist Toolkit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, access to the private Rebel Buddhist group where I do weekly live sessions on topics just like this, and a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more for free. That's rebelbuddhist.com.